Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, so a few weeks back, Brad emailed me and asked if I would speak today. And, you know, he gave me a couple ideas on what it could be on, but he just basically said, you know, speak on what I know best. So today we are going to be talking about the impending obsolescence of your personal computer components and emerging trends. Just kidding. Now, instead, it's going to be on something that I'm certainly much less of an expert on, but which the Lord, you know, has just given me a calling for, and that's, you know, families and raising children in the Forerunner reality, and I want to say this: I did not plan this, you know. Amy, if you knew her when she was younger, you could think, okay, yeah, she'll, you know, it makes sense that she would eventually end up in children's ministry and as a children's pastor, because she loved kids. I mean, even when she was one, you know. I've seen, you know, old home video footage, you know, and she's like six and carrying around the two-year-old cousins like everywhere. She just has always loved kids. And not that I didn't love kids, but it wasn't on my radar. But Jehovah Sneaky that he is, He got me, and it started several years ago. I had never, when the, you know, prayer room or, you know, this community had gone on trips to IHOP KC for one thing or different conferences, it had just never worked out that I could go. And this went on for, you know, a few years. And, like, every time I was like, ah, you know, I didn't get to go again. And so finally just something in me snapped, and I'm like, I am going to go to IHOP KC. Whatever the next event is, I'm going for it. And I looked it up, and it just so happened the next event was a children's ministry conference. So that's what I went for. And that was the beginning of it, of when Jehovah Sneaky got me. And then, you know, over a couple of years, and as we, you know, started having children, he just... he touched my heart with his father heart in a profound way that I can't describe, but that's what happened. And another fair warning, because the father has touched my heart, sometimes I get a little emotional talking about stuff. So I'm going to try to keep it under control, but we'll see. So all that to say, what I felt like the Lord, you know, wanted me to share on and today, I couldn't decide the title. It was one or the other, so I'm just going to give you both. It's Discipling a Child's Heart and or Raising Children in the Forerunner Reality. So that's what we're doing today. And, you know, I want to tell you, there is a secret. There's a very big secret to discipling children and discipling children's hearts. And I'm going to tell you what the secret is. The secret is that it's just discipling. You know, I feel like because of the church culture that a lot of us have grown up in and old paradigms that we're trying to break out of, you know, we feel like there's a trick to discipling children and raising them to be godly children. And as I thought about it and as I prayed about it, there really isn't a trick, you know. It's just discipling a heart, just like you would disciple, you know, an adult person's heart. You know, really when you think about it, the family unit is the first small group. You know, the very first small, you want to know when the first small group recorded in the Bible is? It's Genesis 5, when Adam and Eve had children. That was the first biblically recorded small group. The family unit is where it starts. And so parents, by definition, are small group leaders. So if you're a parent in here, you know, congratulations, you're a small group leader. And of the most fulfilling and wonderful small group that you will ever lead. And, you know, I also want to say that those of you that are in here that are not parents, you still definitely have a role, as we are a family. You know, if you aren't in that reality of being a parent, you still have a role. And I feel like people fall into two groups in that. You're either what I call parents to be, you know, John and Peyton, or spiritual mothers and fathers. And, you know, and the thing about spiritual mothers and fathers, you can be a spiritual father or mother and be a parent, and or a parent to be. It's not exclusive. You know, I think a great example of this is what Lauren's doing, you know, right now with with Madeline, but also with the Sanchez children. The Sanchez children aren't her children, but, you know, she's watching over them and raising them with, you know, what Andy and Vina have entrusted her with to, you know, to learn a little bit more about the Lord each day. And so she's a spiritual mother to the Sanchez children, as well as being an amazing mother to Madeline. So don't feel like, you know, you can check out of this message, you know, if you're not a parent, you know, the rest of this message doesn't apply to you, because that's not at all true. I want to turn, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew 25. And I felt like this was one of the marquee passages the Lord was putting on my heart for this message. And so Matthew 25, verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And we know, you know, it goes on, and the servant who had received 2 brought, you know, 2 more. And the servant who had received 1 brought just the 1 that he'd been given back. And the master was very upset with him about it. And, you know, I really feel like one of the keys to recognizing and growing in discipling our children is seeing them as the talents they are. Whether they're your own children that the Lord has given you, or the children of this body that you are a part of. They are talents that the Lord, the author of life, has entrusted to us to raise up and send out into the world to bring back more. And, I've been using the terminology, you know, this family, this body, and that's, you know, we have to. If we are going to do what the Lord has called us to in putting a focus, like I talked about earlier during ministry time, putting a focus on raising godly families and raising godly children, we have to recognize that these children are a part of our same body. They're just a little smaller for right now. There's not an adult body and a kid body. We are all members of one body. So this is one of those aspects of our journey where we have to recognize, we have to heed wisdom, listen to the Lord, and recognize areas where we have to renew our minds, as the Bible says. This is an area we must renew our minds and not fall into, you know, the incorrect things that we've been taught, you know, in our culture and in our church culture. I think for a lot of us, you know, we were raised in a church culture, a reality of really nice, really polished services, you know, really polished church life. And so often that necessitated removing children from that reality, putting them in another building, in another room, you know, because Raising toddlers to be forerunners is not polished, my friends. It is messy. And if you want to see how messy it is, you come back to the 2 and up room any given Sunday, and you will see how messy raising one-year-olds, two-year-olds to be forerunners is. You know, and I have to tell you, I can't tell you how many times, you can ask Amy, I can't tell you how many times I, the children's pastor, have walked away from a Sunday so discouraged and saying to Amy, what on earth are we doing? This is so ineffective. There's no fruit. This is just useless. What are we doing? Because it's messy, and you know, toddlers are toddlers, and they have short attention spans, and they run around, you know, crazy and whatnot. But I have to share with you something. Amy and I both got a text message this week from one of the moms in our community that makes it all worth it. Sorry, I meant to be more prepared on this. Here we go. She said, at a music lesson that she takes her child to, her three-year-old, they always start with prayer. Today, when the teacher said, let's pray, the child quickly fell into her prayer posture, prayer cave. She was totally engaged in the prayer. It was amazing. She went on to say, you know, you don't even understand. The child's been bouncing off the wall all day. But when they came, when they went into their prayer posture, they became totally calm, total countenance change. Then when prayer was over, it was back to bouncing around. And it's like, every once in a while, we get those. We get those little encouragements, those little kisses. It's like, okay, it doesn't always look like it, but it is being effective. And I'm just so thankful. So thankful for those kisses, and so thankful that the Lord, you know, keeps us in this and doesn't let me get away with, you know, thinking it's worthless. And the other thing is, yeah, so it is messy. You know, I honestly, when I got that text message, I couldn't believe it, because this particular child, you know, I have a hard time, you know, getting them to, you know, get into their prayer cave and be still. But you know, it's one of those things, like so many other things, you know, it's the harvest. You know, one plants the seed, one waters, one harvests. You know, I might, you know, for weeks on end be planting that seed and never see the harvest, but another does. And one day when we stand before the throne room, then I'll get to see the fruit of all those seeds that I didn't think sprouted. And that encourages me. So it's messy now. But the other thing that encourages me is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when he said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. And that's something that I and all of us have to continually keep before us and to encourage us when it is frustrating, when we're trying to, you know, teach our toddlers, you know, how to pray, when we're trying to teach them, you know, the Word of God and things, and they're wanting to go, you know, bounce around the walls, is one day they'll give up their childish ways, and the foundation that we set when they're one and two and three will matter so much, and it will make a world of difference in their lives. And I have to tell you, I get really excited to see what my children, you know, the three boys that I have so far, and we'll see who else might come along. But I get really excited to see what my children, raising them in this reality, what they're going to be like in 20 years. And I get really excited, you know, to see your children 20 years. But what gets me super excited is to see what our children's children will be like in 30, 40, 50 years. You know, and that's something that we... Our American culture like we totally have lost the plot on. We've totally lost concept of looking that far ahead. I mean, you hear no, I don't think you really very often hear anybody, you know, in their, you know, 20s and 30s thinking about the lives their grandchildren are going to live. You know, but when you look through scripture, particularly the Old Testament, you find verse upon verse where the Lord gives promises and curses to people's children's children. The Lord, who is outside of time, you know, cares so much about, you know, generation upon generation upon generation. And that drew me to Proverbs 13:22, which says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." And that's what I want to do, and that's what I want to see for myself, for my family, for our family, is us leave a rich spiritual inheritance to our children's children. You know, I want to be intentional about looking to that, but what I really want, I want to see the next generations access the things we wish we did, you know, to see our children and our children's children touching the heart of God in a way that we wish we could, touching his glory, accessing the power of the Holy Spirit in ways we wish we could. That's what I want to see. I want to see this generation of children raised up that just are just on fire in every way, and just, I mean, just blaze a trail of righteousness and holiness across this earth. So the question that this leads us to, so once we renew our minds, once we have the paradigm, once we have the heart, we're like, yeah, let's do it. You know, it's a question of how. And I'm gonna tell you. I can't tell you. Because just as each one of our children are so different and so unique, like I can't tell you this exact step by step, you know, this is, I mean, even with our own children, like we, you know, we have to train and teach Josiah one way that doesn't work with Ezra. And those of you that have multiple children know what I'm talking about. So I can't give you a step by step, this is exactly how you do it. But I can give you kind of some, a code, well, more like guidelines for doing it. And so the first guideline that I would say, and this is something that Amy and I have talked extensively about, is start early. You know, I would say you pretty much cannot start too early. You know, not that I am prescribing this or recommending it for any, or, you know, for anyone, but I mean, we had Josiah with us in small group and in service like a week after he was born. Again, don't necessarily recommend that, but, you know, I mean, we took him to one thing when he was 6 months, you know, and I want to pause and say, like, Amy and I mess up a lot. So, like, you know, I'm gonna share a lot of our successes and not necessarily very many of our failures, but there are many, many more failures than there are successes. I'm just thankful that the Lord and the Holy Spirit touches Josiah and takes those successes and makes the general trend upward. But you can't start too early, you know, and things like, and even, not that this is a message on, you know, child development, but there's even science behind this. And what made me think of it is actually something that Ezra did. So one of the things that we do in children's ministry, for those of you who don't know, is we have memory verses. And what we do is we typically will go over a verse for 6 weeks or more sometimes to do it over and over again. And what we do in children's ministry is we'll have, you know, different hand motions or hand signs that just helps reinforce it for them. And I remember a year and a half or so ago, Ezra was, I think, a little over one or so. And so he wasn't to the point that he was quite verbal. But when we would do the memory verse and do the hand motions, he would do the hand motions. And then months later, and so like I said, we do a verse for several weeks and then we move on to another one. So, you know, we'd moved on to other memory verses and we just happened to be at the house or I can't remember where. Somehow it just came up and we asked him what that verse was. And even though we had never heard him verbalize the verse before, he did it with the hand motions. And that's something that, you know, you read about, you know, in, you know, just basic raising your children's books, is that their brains, you know, are grasping vocabulary and grasping language even before they can verbalize it back. And so all that to say, like, you know, just because your children, the children in your small group or, you know, whatnot, may not be verbal yet, you can still be teaching them, you know, scripture. You can be teaching them, you know, prayer. You can be, I mean, teaching them anything. Just because they can't do it back doesn't mean they're not learning it. So absolutely, start early. Next thing is I just wrote down the word exposure, and it really is just one of those things. Like, you know, we've all heard it said probably 1,000 times, you know, children are sponges, you know, they're going to soak up like whatever you expose them to. And so it's just a thing of being intentional about what you expose them to. And, you know, so expose them to scripture, like I said, expose them to the prayer room, expose them to, you know, church reality like we do on Family Sunday, you know, expose them to it so that you are intentionally guiding and directing what's getting into their hearts and what's getting into their minds and what is going to flow back out of them. The next thing is, you know, just incorporating the things that you do want to expose them to into daily life. You know, and a part of this is the repetition factor, like I talked about with, you know, us doing the same memory verse in children's ministry for several weeks, is the repetition, because that's something, you know, particularly with small children like we have now, you know, with the toddler age, their long-term memory hasn't quite, you know, fully developed yet. But if you repeat the same thing over and over again, like if you're doing it every day, then it gets into them, it gets into their hearts. Again, it's just really, really, I mean, you're going to hear me say this word over and over and over and over again. It's about intention and being intentional and intentionality. I think that's a word. And with all these things, it's just being intentional. So being intentional about incorporating your daily life into the daily lives of your children. And because it's one of those things, if you're doing something every day and then they're doing it every day, that's the repetition. And that's what establishes that foundation. The next thing that I had was explaining. So, you know, we do this with the boys, like when we can tell that there's a new concept, you know, like at the prayer room or in service or somewhere we might be. I know I make it a point to pull them aside and I ask, do you understand what's going on? Or do you understand what so-and-so is saying? And sometimes they say yes and sometimes they say no. And if they say no, then I try to figure out a way and depending on where they're at, I have one that's 4, almost 5, and one that's 2.5. So I can, you know, I can go into a little bit deeper explanation with 4 going on 5 than I can with 2.5. But figure out a way of in 30 seconds to a minute explaining the basics of what it is that is going on. And we do this too when we're looking through scripture and reading the word is, you know, with our kids, we tell them what the word says. There's no reason. I feel like, you know, some people, I mean, God is God, you know, and we love the loving, you know, giving, you know, God, but God is also mighty and a warrior and a judge, and that's who he is, and he doesn't apologize for who he is, and we shouldn't either. We shouldn't apologize to each other. We shouldn't apologize to our children about who God is. And so, you know, when we go over a passage of scripture, you know, that talks about, you know, one of those more mighty, fiery aspects of God, we just explain to him, explain to our kids, you know, that's who God is because of his nature, that he is holy and he is righteous. So, I mean, really what I'm just trying to say is don't be afraid to explain to your kids, to explain to, you know, if you're a small group leader, you know, you have family in your small group, you know, in your small group time, if you're, you know, talking about this, don't be afraid to explain to the kids, to the children, who God really is. It would be such a tragedy and such a disservice and so crippling to our children to, you know, from the time that they're zero till, you know, 13 or 15 or pick your number, you know, to give them the idea that God is, you know, only, you know, a Santa Claus grandfather on a fluffy cloud, you know. Let's don't do that. Let's explain to our children who God is, every aspect of him. The next thing that I had was in this, how do we do this? How do we, you know, raise our children in this, is having a physical aspect of it. And again, this is something that's especially important for, you know, where we pretty much are right now, you know, with having smaller children, toddlers or whatnot, is whatever we are doing, have a physical aspect to it, because that just, it helps them. It helps to give them something to focus on. It helps center them. You know, their brains aren't to the point yet where they can really understand abstract ideas and abstract thoughts. But if we give something physical, then they get it and they want to know about it. So an example of this is something that we teach and we practice in children's ministry is whenever we are going to do a time of prayer, we have them get into what we call good prayer posture. And so that's just where we should, you know, we have them, you know, kind of clasp their hands together and close their eyes and kind of bow their heads. And there's nothing magical about clasping your hands and bowing your head and closing your eyes, you know. There are times I pray, you know, at home or something with my eyes open. So there's nothing magical about it. But giving them something physical to do helps them. Another example is we do what we call prayer caves, which is where we have the kids find. There's carpet squares that we have back there, and so I'll have each of them get a carpet square and find a spot and whatnot. And so they have to kind of huddle down and put their hands over their head, and you know, kind of like it, the idea is to try to feel like you're alone, like you're in a cave by yourself and you're not surrounded by friends. And we do that when we are having them practice hearing the word of hearing God speak to them, and so they need that. They need that aspect of you know, trying to be free from distraction by feeling like they're, you know, not surrounded by a bunch of other people. And so again, it's that physical, giving them something physical to focus on. So that's really important. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways I can give you is just give them a physical aspect to do. So the next thing that I had is, and I've kind of already touched on some of this also, is so I talked about some kind of basic general things on this, and so I really just felt like. Because Amy and I get, asked all the time. And so I just wanted to share, some things that we do. And again, this is not at all like this is the only way to do things or prescribing this or anything. We just wanted to share, some ideas, so that you can be like, oh, that's great. I'll try that. Or oh, I don't think that would really work for my kid or, or whatever. So some things that we do is... we do scripture cards. And when I say we do, really I mean she does. She's the brains behind this operation. I'm just gonna tell you. I can talk on a mic pretty decently, but she's the genius. Anyway, I mean they're actually even falling apart from use, but so this is just where Amy, I'll just take this one. So this is where Amy has taken one of the memory verses that we're going over, written it on an index card, laminated it, and so every day, in the morning, they get up, have breakfast, and then they go over the memory verses. And there is one, like 6 or 7 cards here, and Josiah and Ezra both can tell you every single one of these verses. Because they do it every day. They repeat it over and over. And it's funny to see the trend, because sometimes we'll pick a verse if there's a particular aspect of life they're struggling with. So I think that was the reality when we started teaching them Proverbs 15:32, which says, "He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding." Amen. So, So this is one type of scripture card that we do. Another type, actually, the family should have in your bags. There you go, Brad. And so this again is just a verse and a picture and whatnot. And what we have found this is really good for is teaching them to simultaneously learn the Word of God while they're learning how to read. Josiah loved his, Amy made one that was like A to Z, teaching the letters and teaching him how to read. And he loved reading it. And Ezra does too now. And so they're learning how to read while they're learning the Word of God. Something else we do is with the prayer room, we have what we call our family sacred trust. So Amy and I each have 2 sacred trusts that we're on. I have one that I go to all by myself. She has one that she goes to all by herself. And then we have one that we all go to as a family. And it's that, like Amy was talking about in the vision casting time, showing our children, training them how to, how to behave and how to, engage and how to be a part of a service or of a prayer meeting or, those sorts of things. So we have a family sacred trust that we all go to. Sometimes we walk away really excited and sometimes we walk away really frustrated. And that's just life. That's just being real. And I have to say something else that I learned or we learned is now, and when we first started doing this, I tried to get out of our family sacred trust meeting the same thing that I get out of my meeting that I go to by myself, and I walked away from that meeting frustrated a lot. And so now, I walk into our family sacred trust expecting to not engage with the Lord at all. It is just for training them and teaching them and getting them to engage with the Lord. So learn from my mistakes is what I would say. Something else we do, again, with just the daily life, is, every day, just about every day, you know, they have a time of, you know, family worship. You know, Amy will put on the IHOP KC web stream, and we've got a bucket of instruments, and they will, you know, play and worship and sing. We actually even repurposed something. Well, it's a toilet paper holder. We repurposed a freestanding toilet paper holder and my old prayer room puff, and so they have a mic now that they practice singing on. And they love it. They love. And I love seeing them love worshiping God and engaging even in our house. It doesn't get much better than that. The other reason that we do things like that, we do the web stream time at home and we do some other stuff, is what I call home training. So we practice stuff every day or most every day at home so that when we go to the prayer room, they know already. And it's you know, there's less of a learning curve at the prayer room or in church service or wherever, because we've trained and practiced and you know, been messy at home. So we're not messy, you know, elsewhere, out in the world. I talked about prayer caves. And something I want to share about prayer caves is, you know, it is one of those things that, like I was talking about earlier with the text message that I got from the mom, is most weeks, almost every week, actually, in children's ministry and whatnot, you know, we always, whenever we're done with prayer cave time, and I forgot to mention something, so when we do prayer cave time, we put on, like, some, you know, kind of contemplative music, we turn the lights, you know, down or whatnot, we really try and, like, set an atmosphere for them to be able to engage with the Lord and hear His voice. And most weeks, and every week whenever we get done, you know, we'll ask them, you know, did anybody feel like God said anything to them? And most weeks, everybody's like, no, you know, or things like that. And we tell them, well, that's okay. You know, I mean, they're 2, 3, you know, whatnot. In the last couple months, it's been becoming more and more yeses. And that's really cool to see, you know, and usually it's very simple stuff. The Josiah said he felt like the Lord told him, abide in my love, which I guess, I mean, in one way it seems simple, but at the same time, it was one of those things that it's like, I think the Lord really did tell him that, because we didn't say anything, we've never said anything to him about the Lord saying, abide in my love. We've had, I mean, in children's ministry, we've had several others that have, you know, shared the stuff that you know, they felt like the Lord said, and it's just, it's, you know, it's cool to see that. I'm trying to remember where I was going with this. I don't know. But anyway, so prayer caves is something else we do. I know where I was going with it. So like I said, we've been seeing some more success with that, and we've been seeing, you know, some of the children feeling like the Lord spoke to them. Well, I actually had a mom in our community, I think this was this week or maybe it was last week, that actually told me, or told us, that her child actually had come to her recently and was like worried and said, Mom, I can't hear God anymore. I can't hear Him. And it's just like, and so we're like, okay, well, you know, we'll be praying for that and whatnot. But I was reflecting on that. I was like, I have no idea what that's like. I'm used to not hearing God speak to me, you know? I mean, how amazing and awesome is it to have members of our body that are worried when they don't hear the voice of the Lord? Something else we do is we incorporate, you know, prayer time at bedtime. And so the very last thing we do before we tuck the boys into bed is, you know, we say, you know, night-night prayers. And we have several that, you know, we kind of do, you know, every time. and we have some that, that change up a little bit. What was really cool to see was, you know, as we were on this journey with my job and applying for this new job and it taking a lot longer than anybody expected, you know, we explained to them, hey, so, you know, Daddy is, you know, looking to get a new job and, you know, and I mean, explain, you know, and this is what's going on and it would be really cool, you know, if he got it, but we're not sure if he's going to get it or not. So, you know, can you pray that, that the Lord would move and Daddy would get this new job and everything. And so, you know, every night, you know, one of them would pray that. And so then we got to share, they got to share with us in the praise and in the testimony of Daddy got that job. And they were so excited. And so what was also really cool was, you know, so we told them that, that I got the job, but we didn't tell them that, like, they didn't need to pray that I would get the job anymore. And on their own, they started praying at night instead of praying, you know, Lord, let Daddy get that new job. They started praying, Lord, we thank you so much for giving Daddy that new job. Would you just help him in that and bless him and you know, just help his bosses to, you know, like him. And I don't know what all, they pray different stuff. But, I mean, the first time I heard that, you know, the first night, I was blown away. So the next thing that I had was things we do with them is we practice personal ministry with them, just like we did earlier during, you know, our personal ministry time in here. Certainly in, you know, the church context, you know, since Amy and I are members of the lead team, you know, we, a lot of times, you know, during ministry time in our service, you know, we come up here with the lead team, you know, in case anybody wants to come up and receive prayer. And we just, I mean, we don't know any other way to do it than just to say, hey, do you want to go do personal ministry with us? Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no. And so when they say yes, they come up with us. Somebody comes up, you know, and says what they need prayer for, and we say to them, you know, hey, Mr. So-and-so or Ms. So-and-so needs prayer for this. Can you pray for that? And they do. And to share, you know, what I've realized I'm doing that I hope is good but was unintentional is kind of like, here's what we do, and here's some things that have happened as a result of it. So something that's happened as a result of us practicing that personal ministry with them is yesterday when we were at John and Peyton's wedding, there was a time that, you know, John and Peyton had asked, you know, that Brad would, you know, open it up to prayer, and in the wedding party, you know, surrounded them and prayed over them, and they asked Brad to invite, you know, those in the audience, you know, to pray as well. And so even though they were, you know, 30 feet away or something and whatnot, we asked the boys, hey, do you want to pray for Mr. John and Miss Peyton? And they both said yes. And I really have no idea what Ezra prayed because he was really quiet, but he prayed for them. He prayed something. And he wasn't afraid to. They love to do it. And I love that they love it. And again, I mean, I'm a father, so, you know, I tend to default to talking about my own kids, but as a children's minister and a children's pastor, I mean, I have the same experience, you know, with the other kids as well in children's ministry. This church has an amazing group of children, just an amazing group of children, and it's a joy and a pleasure and an honor to be in the position that I'm in. So I felt like there was something else that I didn't write down, but that's my fault for not writing it down. So, in closing, you know, I just want to say, like so many things in this journey in the Lord, there's not a big super secret. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do this. It's actually very simple. Now, it's not always easy. I will be the first to tell you, it is not. It is, particularly when they're young like this, it is rarely easy. But it's pretty simple. It's this simple. Is for each person, for each family, figure out what the Lord has called you to and figure out how to incorporate your children into that and lead them in that. And that's all it is. It takes being intentional. It takes sacrifice of personal time and personal, you know, a sacrifice of your attention and your thoughts and whatnot. But that's really all it is I'm going about this life the Lord has called me to, and being a part of the prayer room, being a part of this community, learning more about Him, learning about His love, learning about His holiness and His justice. How do I include my kids in that? That's all it is. Let's pray.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.